to the end of the fifth chapter, and in last class, last Friday, we discussed a very important verse about what to do when practically our mind, our whole personality gets assailed by various desires arising, you know, from attractions, repulsions, and the habits that we have formed. What should one do at that time? Similarly about anger, when the resentment or anger comes in us, how to control that? It seems to overpower us and drag us in a direction that we really find difficult to resist. We are, as it were, hijacked by our desires and angers. As it is said, kama krodha. The kama means the desires, and krodha, the anger, which is another side really of desires. When the desires get obstructed, it gets converted into anger. So these two forces, they act on us, and a person, when is assailed by them, finds powerless, and thus gets dragged after that, and gets bound, has to suffer because of that. So what is the way? We saw that one has to learn to resist that. And that is what is the path of yoga. Yoga is when you see these attacks coming, don't succumb to them. Don't let your mind go after them. Learn to resist. Tell yourself that, well, you will get bound by, you will get entrapped. And these are like those big promises, like some credit card and all that. They give you big promises. And then you don't see the fine writing. So you get entrapped and thus suffer. So these desires, well, yeah, you will get lot of pleasure. Please just come forward and take me and accept me, and that's fine. And one proceeds, gets dragged, and then the result is entrapment, suffering, loss of freedom. But sometimes one feels terribly depressed because of this vicious cycle. That it comes again and again in life, that you feel the pull of these desires. But that doesn't mean that the situation is truly depressing. There is the way out, and this way out is practice. Now, one feels sometimes powerless, but there is a way out. If we succumb to those things by supporting them with some pretext. Pretext means not that they are false, like what to do, this has come to me genetically. These days that is a big talk, that certain things you get in your genes. And so what can you do? I am alcoholic because, you know, it has come to me through my genes. My, you see, parents were like that, and grandparents or whatever were like that, so it has come to me through genes. It is not wrong. I mean, this is a fact that there is a genetic component associated with it, but it does not mean that you cannot overcome it. It is one thing to accept the fact, and another thing is to accept defeat against it. the facts, how they became, it became your genetic nature. We have to see the cause, how it gets formed. It is through the repeated succumbing to that without resisting it, it became gradually your second nature. It became, you know, you took birth in such a family where these were the conditions automatically available to you. And thus now you feel powerless against it. It is a very important thing to note. It is something like this. If you buy, say, an iron sheet, a thin iron sheet for some construction work or some repair work from the hardware store, it comes in a roll. Now, when you want to use it somewhere, you want to say nail it to wall or to your door many times to prevent the doors from getting wet and moist. People nail these sheets to the lower part of the doors. Now, when you open it up, because it has been rolled, it has been kept rolled for maybe years. So even if you open it up, it again automatically gets rolled up. Our minds are like that. Our tendencies, they have been formed. And therefore, it automatically, even if you want to pull it away from our the sensual desires, the mind just gets rolled and runs towards them. Similarly about anger too. But that doesn't mean there is no way. Otherwise you would never be able to use that metal sheet. Because as a roll it is useless. You cannot nail it to any place. If you cannot flatten it. And if you say, well, it goes, it rolls automatically, what can I do? Fellow, there is the way to do it now. Since it gets rolled like this, what those workers who work with it, they, what do, the carpenters and all, they roll it reverse. That is the technique. They roll it in the reverse direction and put it under weight. After a few hours or so, then you can straighten and flatten it. So, the process of yoga is like this. That reverse these pulls, reverse these directions. It may appear painful, but it is better to take this pain rather than the perpetual bondage and sufferings. So, this pain is better that you hold on to your nerve. Don't succumb. These two choices, the choice becomes available to you. We all get this choice, friends, that, well, here is something, whether you want to accept it or reject it. There is a voice of temptation telling, hey, take it. There is a voice of conscience, hey, don't take it. When there are sweets in front of me, I always get this, you know, the voice of temptation. Hey, take it, you know, what does it matter? You can take it, it doesn't, you will put on weight, but maybe later on you can reduce it. Now, don't worry, you know, take it. From tomorrow you can start controlling. The voice of conscience says, hey, be careful. You have done this folly many times. How long are you going to succumb to it again and again? Listening to the voice of conscience, do we not get this? All of us get this choice. The yoga is to hold on to the voice of conscience, and opposite of that is to succumb to these. So, a person is in the last that verse that we saw, the 23rd verse of the 5th chapter, that it is told that who is a yogi who strives to control these currents of passion and anger. And yes, it will come over you. There will be a strong wind. When you drive in the wind, when it is say 40-45 miles, the other day I was driving, and then with my van appeared to be, you know, moving like that. But what do you do then? Do you, okay, let it go, I will not hold the steering. No, you have to hold it strongly, so that it will remain on the track. So when these currents come, hold on to it. Hold on to your mind strongly. Oh no, I have a path to go. I don't want to fall in the ditch. I have a path to follow. Let me hold on to my conscience and proceed. So this is the path of yoga. And it is to be done here and now. That is the great word used in that verse, ihaiva. Here itself. And not after going somewhere or at some other time. Iha refers here to both time and space. It actually refers to here and now. It is, you can do something right now about it. So do it, and the result will be happiness. Sukhi naraha. That person attains happiness. Otherwise, in the name of happiness, we get suffering. The choice is something like that. Do we want happiness or suffering in the name of happiness? Do we want to be deceived with the promises of pleasure and then getting into bondage, or we want to really have happiness? Happiness always is when we are in control. Happiness is not when we are deceived and bound. When we are in the control of things, then we get really the happiness. So this has been told. Now the remaining verses, three verses, they tell, this chapter has another six verses. The three that follow tell us that this person is really a very happy person. The life is full of blessings for this person. When you stick to the voice of conscience rather than succumbing to the temptations, what happens is you feel really happy, because the prick of conscience is such a thing that it will not let you enjoy. You may try to suppress it again and again, but it will keep on pricking us. In fact, that creates many more psychological problems in life. If somebody's conscience is pricking, then gradually it creates lot of undesirable complexes and health problems too. Therefore, it is important that when we hold on to our conscience, we have taken the right step in getting happiness. Otherwise, we are going away from the source of happiness and landing in suffering. So, the 24th verse describes this. More important, we will see the great beauty of this language here. Yontas sukhuntararamas tathantar jyotirevayaha Sayogi brahma nirvanam brahma bhuto dhigacchati. he or she, whose happiness is within, whose rejoicing is within, and whose light is within, that yogi, established in Brahman, attains mergence in Brahman. That yogi, that is the one who has walked on this path of righteousness and spiritual wisdom, this person now finds the source of happiness within. What does it mean? Now you don't have to beg for happiness. It is, otherwise it is life of just begging, begging to other beggars, so nobody gets anything. If you beg to someone who has happiness, then that person can give. But if all are beggars, who is going to give? So, we keep on begging for happiness. Man, give me some happiness. Oh, woman, give me some happiness. Oh, money, give me some happiness. Each keeps on begging. All beggars, nobody has anything to give. But if you look within, if you turn the direction, if you practice yoga instead of bhoga, and bhoga is the life of running towards external enjoyments, if you change the direction, then you get that antasukha, means you find the mine of happiness within. It is there, but since we are facing in the opposite direction, it appears far away. Like Vishwanath is right in front of me. It is sitting right here. There is hardly any distance between us. But suppose my face is in the opposite direction. Then I see, wow, where is Vishwanath? The distance is almost infinite. What I need to do is just turn my face and he is right there. So that is, this turning is yoga. That turn the face in the right direction, to change your direction in life, and you are right there. So that is yoga, antasukha. So all spiritual life really means changing the direction. It is very painful, changing the direction. Why it is painful? Because it is moving in the wrong direction for quite some time. It has acquired a tendency and a momentum and all that. Therefore, to stop it and change it appears difficult, but possible. Many times we must remember, when we say the word difficult, it has a positive note associated with it. It is difficult means it is possible. Only I have to put proper efforts. That is the meaning of difficult. This is difficult but possible. But getting happiness otherwise in this world is neither difficult nor easy. It is impossible. So, what is practical? Going after difficult or going after impossible? What charge? What is practicality? Because it is possible, you see. If you had something easy, okay, fine, but if it is impossible, we should not run after impossible as practical, rational persons. This world is only so many illusory temptations all around us. So, therefore, running after them for happiness is, just running after a mirage for water. It is an impossibility. There is no water there. So, we must remind ourselves again and again that let us go to the source of happiness. And it is guaranteed, friends. There is absolutely no doubt about it. Those who have practiced can certainly vouchsafe that yes, it is certain, it is a guarantee. You are certainly going to get there. It is more certain than you are following the MapQuest or Google directions to get somewhere, you know. You get those, take those directions, or these days follow the GPS, you are sure, you know, that if you follow, you will get to the right place. This yoga is a very sure direction. You will get it. And so, therefore, let us follow it. And it says, Brahma Nirvana, you get merged with your true nature. This life of divisions and these false awareness of I and world is the cause of misery. When you practice yoga, you attain to that oneness. That is actually the meaning of this word yoga also, to become one, to become joined. So, by practicing yoga, you become that ocean. You become this existence itself. Now we get identified with the rising and falling waves. Think, you know, of all these names and forms, including our own personality. My own personality, let me see what it is. It is like a wave, exactly like a wave. Rises, it goes on rising, then starts declining. Is it not the case with us? Birth, growth, decay, then goes, the fellow again dies, it is gone. But what is always there? Our true nature, the ocean of existence, on which we all are like rising and falling waves. These waves come and go. Let us not identify with that. If I identify myself with the wave, then I don't exist at all. I am always dying. If I identify myself with the ocean, then that is my true nature. That is what I always am seeking. So, a yogi knows that and thus merges with it. That knowledge is mergence. So, therefore, it is stressed always in, and you will see this in all mystic literature, not just Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita, but see the mystic literature of Kabbalah or mystic literature of Sufism or Taoism. All these you will see that this knowledge removes the illusion of separation. The separation is an illusion and you become one. Like when you get up from the dream, you were seeing that, a tiger is pursuing me. When you wake up, where is the tiger? Where are you that was pursued by the tiger? All you know that it was a play of your mind. There wasn't any tiger there. There was not that you who were running away from the tiger. All was a dream. So, when one realizes the truth, all these divisions, this I and mine, this fear that somebody will snatch away what I have, and if I die, or I will get this swine flu, what should I do? And all these fears, they will just vanish from your mind. You will not live in fear. It is not by bringing more and more army, you will cease to live in fear. In fact, that will be making more and more being living in fear. The real living in fear, or really getting out of fear, means to learn to live in truth. When we learn to live in the truth, then we become free from fear. So he says, Brahma Nirvanam, you become one and with Brahman, the all-pervading reality, and you become Brahman. That is, because you are that. Even now we are that. Only the question is of knowledge. When we know, we are that. If we don't know, we are not that. Our George used to ask, these days he doesn't, but earlier he used to ask this question, what is the use, Swami, whether we do spiritual practice or not? After all, we are that, is it not? Yes, we are that, George, but we have to know it. All the spiritual practice means to endeavor to know it. If we don't know it, it is not available to us. It is like a fellow had a lot of this big wealth kept in the hidden in the house somewhere, and but didn't know where it is. So one day, as it happens in those treasure stories, they found an old map somewhere, and then started looking for it. It was a very mysteriously drawn map, and so had to take lot of efforts to discover it. If he would have said, oh, whether I know it or I don't know it, it is certainly in my house. Does that make that fellow rich? That wealth is not available. It is, but it is not available. When that fellow knows, hey, it is, I got it, then that fellow becomes rich. So also, when we know, and this path of knowledge goes through this yoga, that is what is called yoga, transforming our life in the light of knowledge. Here knowledge does not mean only the intellectual awareness or intellectual conviction. It means much more than that. That knowledge that bears upon the life transforms it accordingly. Suppose one gets the awareness, suppose, and suddenly learns that there is a poisonous snake right under their seat. If she really knows it, will she sit there like this? She will simply jump away and take the nearest course to get out of the hall. The poisonous snake. She will not sit there at all. Why? Because that knowledge has the efficacy, the power to transform her. Because there is that conviction, yes, this is a poisonous snake. So, my true nature, the Brahman, is that knowledge transforms the priorities of life. Makes you not to run after the so-called pleasurable objects. It does not make then all these getting buffeted in different emotions and circumstances, because now you have realized the truth. So here what is meant by knowledge is that life transforming force. If you know something real, then that accordingly your life gets changed. It is, if not, then your life gets, that follows different path. Like that lady went to complain to the psychologist that you need to treat my husband needs your help. What happened? No, he thinks that he is a chicken. Oh my goodness, how long this is happening? For 5 years. And then you should have come earlier. Why did you not come earlier? you know, earlier we needed the eggs and therefore I didn't come earlier. So now it is, that is not the real knowledge that the fellow really thinks wrong. So our life gets trapped into this. Intellectualism is a bane of this kind of spiritual knowledge. We have big flights of intellect and imagination, but it must seep deeper. It is, to understand intellectually is good, but it is not the end of it. It must seep further in our being. Let it become actually percolating our nervous system, and then that will be able to transform our life in accordance to that knowledge, and then that will become a beneficial great force in our life. What does this person get? Next verse tells that Labhante Brahma Nirvanam Rishaya Kshina Kalmashaha Chinnadvaidha Yatatmanaha Sarvabhutahiteratha. Sages whose sins have waned away, whose doubts have been dispelled, who have controlled their mind and who are devoted to the welfare of all beings, attain absorption in Brahman. Some other facets of this life of knowledge they are shown. When a person starts following in the footsteps of this yoga, then what happens? Chinnadvaidha, that it is said that the life of based on this division of I and the world becomes less meaningful to that person. The life of oneness becomes more important. Chinnadvaidha, this division appears as temporary then. Then yatatmanaha, that this person therefore strives for illumination. A person who has this world as something to achieve, strives to get things from the world. Let me strive to get gold medal in Olympic. It is because that is what is a great covetous treasure for this person. Somebody is coveting for becoming the President of United States. That is the reward for that person is working. Somebody is working to become a millionaire. Somebody is working for, you know, getting right wife or right husband or whatever. So, because the attention is on the world. Now this person's attention, this yatatmanaha, to realize one's true nature. That is, the yata means efforts of control of this person are like that. That it is there is that when the outer, the tendencies to go out appear, they will appear. As long as this knowledge hasn't stabilized in life, these tendencies will come in life. Now, this person makes efforts to control this. Rather than running after them, this person tries to control them. That is the difference. Temptations come in the life of both. Whether somebody is trying to practice yoga or is not doing that, in both lives the temptations will come. But a yogi will make the attempt to resist it, to control it. And with that sincere attempt, the strength goes on increasing. That strength will gradually go on increasing more and more. You may not succeed. In fact, nobody succeeds in the first attempt. But you have to keep on doing it persistently, persevering for a long, long time. Then one gets that state where now you feel that state, that state of happiness that one gets through control. And thus that control becomes stable in life. So it is, and these persons therefore now an external expression of this life is sarvabhuta hite rataha. This person, having given up all the selfish desires, really works for the good of others. And working for the good of others is not easy. Many people say that we will work for the good of others, we don't care about religion or spiritual wisdom. Very good idea. But unless one's own selfish desires are given up, is it possible truly to work for the good of others? If there is no attempt to curb selfishness, what happens is these desires to do good for others, one therefore becomes a social worker. One runs for the offices of these, congressmen or all that. And what happens in the name of social service? Something different happens. Why so? It is, the reason is this: there is no conscientious attempt to curb the selfish desires. If they are not controlled, what is the meaning of doing good to the others? Many times in the name of doing good to the others, we go on imposing our ideas on others and call that doing good to the other, to the world. Is world that small? Those who have, we have our fanatic ideas about doing good to the world. Somebody says making the world, whole world vegetarian is doing good to the world. Well, you have that idea, but is it really doing good to the world depends on many things. Have you given up all your selfishness? Then only you have the right to say that you are doing good to the world. Our pet ideas are so dear to us. They are dearer to us than our real pets. The pets are so dear. A lady comes here, I can criticize her a lot, but say a word against her dog and then so our pet ideas also are so dear to us that we want to just keep on working them, and then we give the name to that, that it is for the good of the whole world. It is, what is good for the whole world? Just curb your selfishness. And then you will be, all your actions will be automatically for the good of the others. Once that Swami Tyagananda, he told that, if you curb selfishness, you may ask what good it will do to the world. Well, at least one troublemaker is reduced, is it not? At least that much good has been achieved if one troublemaker is reduced. So, that is the real way of making the good to the world. So, then what happens in this person? The other, this thing is told, the effect of this in the next verse. Kama krodha viyuktanam yatinam yatachetasam abhito brahma nirvanam vartate viditatmanam. Sages who are free from passion and anger, who have controlled their mind and who have realized the self, attain absorption in Brahman here and hereafter. It is here and hereafter, that is the most important word. Other things we have seen already, that this person, kama, krodha, viyuktanam, this is not just claiming that, oh, I have got self-knowledge. The test of self-knowledge is you are free from lust and anger. Then, as you are, your mind is under control, yata chetasam. And this person, therefore, is now one with Brahman, even though is alive physically. You may see that person is walking, talking, eating, drinking, all things like a common person. But yet there is that internal knowledge that I am really this Brahman, this one absolute reality. And therefore, although this person is eating, this person doesn't have any desire in life. It is very special. Unless we read the lives of great sages, we won't understand the meaning of this. These are all the reflections or the descriptions of how a sage lives. In the second chapter, at the end of the second chapter, we saw there is this description of the science of person of steady wisdom, which actually expressed this idea that this person of steady wisdom is living in this world, looks like an ordinary person, and not that other person walk on the feet, this person starts walking on the hand because of the knowledge of the self. This person also walks on feet. Then what is the difference? That all this person's actions are completely devoid of desires and anger. So, this is the sign of that. So, this is told here that the life changes in this direction, the person becomes illumined. So, through this control, now we have to build our life. Next, three verses are really an introduction to the next chapter, which is the really the chapter of about the techniques of meditation. We have to learn to live a meditative life. And this meditative life is not what commonly is understood to be just doing some meditation every day. For half an hour we will do some meditation and that's about it. Then I will go to my work regularly, and both may not have any connection, the meditation and the life that is lived apart from this meditation. But this is really a process that encompasses the whole life. And that is to be understood about meditation. It is not a cut and dried piece in your life that doing an hour or 2 hours of meditation in the day, but it is living the life in a meditative way. Our this eating should become meditation. Our taking shower should become meditation. Our doing all the different works that we do as part of our business, that should become meditation. And this meditation should enter every pore of our personality, every pore of our being. And that is the idea that we will get to see from this sixth chapter. And these three verses provide an introduction to it. This 27th verse is a verse that is technically called Pratyahara in the according to the yoga aphorisms of Patanjali. And we won't go into the technicalities, but we will see what we need to do in the beginning स्पर्शान कृत्वा बहिर्बाह्यान चक्षुश्चैवान्तरे भ्रुवौ प्राणापानौ समौ कृत्वा नासाभ्यन्तरचारिणौ.
Shutting out external sense objects, fixing the gaze between eyebrows, controlling the outgoing and incoming breaths that move through nostrils, with the senses, mind and intellect restrained and free from desire, fear and anger, the sage who has liberation as his highest goal is indeed ever free. Actually, this is the translation of two verses, 27th and 28th. It is that the problem that we face is that suppose I sit for meditation. Now, I close my eyes, I close my ears and want to just sit. But the objects that I have seen or have, maybe I have seen many years back, they keep on titillating the mind. Many thoughts, they keep on rising, and then that won't allow me to sit for meditation. And the external impulses will keep on disturbing me, and therefore one has to learn how to block that. Like, suppose you want to, there is a lot of noise going on, and you want to remain quiet, what you need to do is shut all the doors and windows and sit there inside. All the sounds are to be kept out. Now, the doors of our mind also need to be shut like that as a necessary requirement for meditation. That how they are to be shut, that it is very really simple, not that difficult. All the incoming things are to be prevented. How do they come in? We have the doors by which they come into the mind. These, our sense organs are those doors. The eyes, the ears, the tactile sense, the sense of taste and sense of smell. These are the five, these doors, or let us say input devices of our system. From these, the signals keep on pouring inside. Now, these will keep on disturbing us if we keep these doors open. So, it is said that the contact with the external object, cut it. Don't bring it in. Your sense organ is external, say eye or ear. And that is not really you. These come in the contact with the object. Now don't bring that contact inside further. This is a matter of practice. We have to learn this. That when your sense organ comes in contact with the sense object, then the signal goes in the mind through the brain and all. I don't want to go into the details, but through a network of, say, nervous system and the programming associated with it, it gets into the mind and disturbs you. Now, what should be done for that? See, all that is seen by the eyes does not need to be taken in the mind. Just reject it. If you don't need it, why should you be taking it in? When you go to a big mall, do you buy the whole mall? It's foolish. You see what is necessary and what is affordable, only that you buy. So, similarly, the eyes may see everything. Do you need to buy everything? The whole thing needs to be taken in and get disturbed by that? No need. It is so. Our eyes, ears, all our sense organs are to be used as doors and not just as holes. If they are holes, anything comes in and goes out and all that. But when it is door, then no. There are many beautiful devotional prayers associated with this idea. It is also a technique in what is called Raja Yoga. The devotees who have devotional temperament, they have the devotional component of that. That, my eyes don't see anything but the divine form. Form of your chosen ideal. Just see that. Oh, my ears, why you waste your energies listening to all the trifles in the world? Listen to the divine name and listen to your mantra, the divine name. That's enough for you. Why you go to all the places walking, all the useless? My legs, take me only to the places of pilgrimage, pilgrimage means where the mind goes to automatically to a higher plane of awareness. So may my feet always take me where I can think of God. So all these beautiful ideas really are this associated with this verse, that all these external contacts, keep them out. Think of the God then within. So this is a procedure that is very conducive and important for meditation. And then, yatendriya mano buddhi munir moksha parayana vigate cha bhaya krodho yasada mukta evasah. Now, when one follows this path, you become liberated. That is the outcome of it. Sada mukta, again and again this is emphasized, that you are really free, but you know it. You know that and you then get that freedom. That freedom then becomes available to you. So, in the last verse of this chapter, the seed of devotion is also told. Although you feel that you are the governor of everything, reality, the higher self, the God, whatever name you like to give, that controls everything. Connect yourself to that, and then you will find that the power comes to you. If we do not know anything, I see the switch. When I put the switch on and off, I see the lights come and go. But is it the really the source of that? This is all connected to some powerhouse, that power generation source. Through various channels and all that, then only that switch works. Suppose the power is shut off somewhere in the middle. Even though I keep on this switch up and down, nothing will happen. So, our lives are always to be connected. And we should realize that there is that governing authority, that divine, of which we all are offshoots. So, when we connect to that, then the life becomes much smoother. Those things which otherwise appear to be very difficult, they start becoming easier in life. So, that is the last verse of this chapter. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridham sarvabhutanam nyatva mam shantim richati.
knowing me, and me is the capital me, the God. Knowing me, the enjoyer of all sacrifices and asceticisms, the great Lord of all the worlds and the well-wisher of all beings, one attains peace. That is how one will be able to progress peacefully. What is this peace, you know? The peace of reaching the destination is one thing, but the peace of being on the right path, the knowledge that I am on the right track, is also a great peace. If I do not know whether I am on the right path or not, once I was following the direction and then went on the took the exit and was driving, but was not sure that the signs on the road were not being seen, so I was not sure whether I am on the right track or not. The doubts were there. Maybe I have mistaken, maybe I took the wrong exit, so I was restless. But then I found that yes, you will see this sign in the direction it was written. And when I saw that sign, then the mind got the peace. That means I am yet to reach the destination, but now I have the solace. Yeah, I am on the right track. So one feels that solace, that yes, I am on the right track. So, getting connected to the God, the one who is the controller, governor, the real inner witness and enjoyer, that when we connect to that, then, and that being is the friend of all, well-wisher of all. And so, when you want the help, that God is there to help you out. If we have to say that, I want to take help, at least we should not reject it. Then that His help is always there. Sri Ramakrishna used to say that God wants to meet us more than we want to meet God. He is more eager to meet us. He loves us more than we love Him. If we connect, then that power will be ours, and then that divine blessings will make our progress smooth. So here is this fifth chapter finished. It is called the Sannyasa Yoga, the Yoga of Renunciation. And then what is to be renounced? We saw in this that we renounce our sense of separate I, the ego, that needs to be given up. It is not that we have to give up the works, but we have to give up the sense of I am the doer. That sense of ego is to be given up through this practice of yoga. And thus one realizes when that is done, then you are God. It is only the ego that is the obstruction. I am really God. Because of the ego, I have that separation. The ego gone and nothing more to be achieved. So that ego is to be given up. Next chapter will again begin with the description of this, what is really giving up. We shall try to see it from next Friday onwards. Although it is late, but if you have any question, I can take it up. Yes, Charles?
I have two questions. One of theory. The 12-step groups, which have been the most successful in helping people with addiction, say that you're powerless over the addiction and to rely on the higher power.
Yeah.
It seems to me like saying, thy will, not my will.
Yeah.
Why is that successful if you're saying we have to control?
Yeah, both are there. No, the control should not be based on ego, but should be based on the nature of the truth. That is, the both these ideas are, one is the idea of a person of knowledge, another is a person of devotion. So the both these ideas are very correct, that you follow your conscience or follow the idea that God will look after me. But it should be very, the sincerity is important in that. Otherwise, the idea that God will protect will not be protection at all. Because you are not sincerely saying it. In our terminology, you means I, you, everybody here. So, it is, one, if it is not sincere, then it becomes a problem, yeah.
And then I had a practical question. You said to block out the sense input, but what if something's already in your mind, like a daydream or a fantasy? How do you block that out?
Yeah, that will have to be thrown out. Yeah. That is, but the throwing out process can be meaningful only if you block the fresh coming in. It is, in the that fall days, all the leaves, they tend to come in, you know. So, if you let them come in all the time, you will never be able to keep the place clean. So, you have to block that. And then whatever have already accumulated, you collect them and throw them out. So, it's something like that. So, let us conclude with the closing prayers. गीता सुगीता कर्तव्या किमन्यत् शास्त्र विस्तरैः या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्रगीतं एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मन्त्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।